This morning, our responsive reading, congregationally wise, is taken from Proverbs chapter 25, the first 13 verses. And there are times and seasons that when we do our responsive reading, or when we do a public reading from the Old Testament, we begin to find out that Jesus had a commanding knowledge of the Old Testament. And he ought to have had a commanding Old Testament knowledge because he's God. But nonetheless, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come up with something new and innovative. Okay, he doesn't simply invent theology on the fly. But there are times when Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and draws that richness from it and weaves it in his preaching. Let me cite you an example. Notice verses 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. This is talking about trying to take oneself and puff up oneself by trying to force oneself into the movers and shakers of society. Those who may hold the purse strings of the local community, those who have the greater network and know all the contacts that anyone needs to know to get something done in a city, maybe to bypass some of the red tape. Just by getting a few business cards, having a few cocktails or a dinner or two with some very important people. And by doing that, you want to somehow bring their greatness upon oneself. And so here is an admonishment. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. Now, probably you don't belong in that particular group of people. Okay, you don't have the credentials, you don't have the money, you don't have the status, and you don't have the amount of business cards that this particular lot may have. But you try to invite yourself into the high and mighty. Why are you given this admonishment? Read on. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, then thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince, whose thine eyes have seen. Hold your place here. Turn to Luke 14. Notice, I believe it's a parable. Let's see if Jesus was familiar with Proverbs 25. Look at Luke chapter 14 and consider verse 7. And he put forth the parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou began with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he had bid thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, notice, come up higher. Now you look there, listen, for better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither. Proverbs 25, verse 7. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever, notice, exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So I would recommend that you cross-reference Luke chapter 14 with verses 7 to 11 right next door to that Proverbs 25, verses 6 to 7. It's as if Jesus reaches all the way back to the book of Proverbs, extrapolates these verses that we just read here in Proverbs 25 and incorporates them into this parable to teach something, that we ought not to elevate ourselves more than who we are. And if you're going to be recognized and exalted, then it needs to come from the lips of somebody else who does it of their own volition, not you buying it or waving a flag to be recognized. So here we find Jesus apparently borrowing from the book of Proverbs and incorporating it into his parable. Notice verses 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. Hold your place here. Turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. Apparently, God has some things that only he reserves to himself. But the things that God has revealed, those are open to us. Okay? He gives those to us, like it says in the Proverbs. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Well, if something is kept secret from you, it's kind of hard to search it out because you don't know what it is. But if something has been revealed to you, maybe a doctrine or a teaching has been revealed to you and has been made known to you, then you have the liberty to dig deeper and find everything you can about that particular point of view, that particular point of doctrine. Look at verse 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. What does Proverbs say? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter or to conceal a thing. So there are certain things that only God knows, and he chooses not to reveal them to the sons of men. That's his prerogative because he's God. But, notice the but. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. So, the things that are plainly revealed in your Bible, that you can read and understand with your eyes and your mind and your intellect and your research, those are the things that God gives you to explore and to dig. And the things that have been revealed that you are to dig, why does he want you to dig? Finish. That we may do all the words of this law. So your searching of Scripture is not to be something mindless and spineless. There's a rhyme and a reason for your study of God's Word. Whether you do it in the church family, when we gather together Sunday to Sunday, midweek to midweek, that is the, if you will, the college of God's people, whereby we all should become a theologian to some degree. So God keeps some things to himself, he conceals. Right? But the things that he has given to us, you got a green light to explore and to discover. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Proverbs 25. We have a point or an illustration from the world or from the ground, and then its corresponding illustration in life. Take away the dross from the silver. Now, what is the dross? Well, dross is that which is unprofitable. It cannot be used. It's simply no good. You can't make anything out of it. It's simply waste material. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. So you take silver or iron ore or gold ore out of the ground, there's impurities. There's things in there that don't belong. So you put it into the furnace, and by melting the silver or the iron or the gold, you extract the pureness while discarding the waste. Now, notice the corresponding application. Take away the wicked. So we have Hebrew parallel. Okay, look at the Hebrew parallel. This almost jumps off the page. Verse 4, take away the dross. Verse 5, take away the wicked from before the king. So, the dross is defined as the wicked. So, a wicked person is likened to dross, unprofitable and useless. Now, if you take away the dross from the silver, you have a fit vessel for use, right? Notice what happens in verse 5. If you get rid of the evil counselors, the schemers, the backstabbers, the two-faced people from the king, his throne shall be established in righteousness. I think verses 4 and 5 is a beautiful example of Hebrew parallelism. Contrasting. Dross with the wicked, silver with righteousness. A throne or a kingdom or a presidency or a prime ministership established in righteousness. And then verses 11 to 12, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Notice, a word fitly spoken. And sometimes, beloved, we don't fitly speak. And all of us have had those moments in our life. Okay? As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon notice an obedient ear. Now that's a condition. That's a condition. Because sometimes you have a disobedient ear. Someone who chooses not to listen. Now they hear you. Okay? They hear what you're saying. With all of the physical apparatus within your head. But when it comes to really hearing you is when they put your words into action for their own good sake. Well, again, we have these vignettes from Proverbs 25. So may God in his wisdom bless his word to our hearts. Amen.